In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Great men inspire us. They shaped history, united peoples, expanded cultures, influenced the way we think and live. They inspired hundreds, if not thousands, of people around their cause and excited many more. These are the great leaders who didn't get sucked into politics but were courageous. They transcend eras, cultures, and time. They had the power of the sword, the power of the word, or the power of a pen, and they used it well. So we learn their history, their birthplace, their life, their legacy, who they were, where they lived, what they did, why they're important, and hundreds, some cases thousands of years later, they still inspire. And St. John the Baptist is the greatest of them all. So what do you know about him? Why do you not know more? You spend time learning about the lives of rulers, philosophers, authors, and theologians. Sadly, today, most spend their time learning about the lives of athletes and pop stars, and with social media, they can't get enough. But John? That ragged prophet? We leave him out in the desert. He doesn't look great, camel's hair, a leather belt. He doesn't act great. He eats locusts and wild honey. He preaches fire and brimstone. These are things that we don't want to imitate, and yet he far surpasses Alexander, Aristotle, Julius Caesar, and George Washington. How? Because of his office. Because he alone is the forerunner of Christ, because he alone lifted his finger and declared, "Behold the Lamb of God." He preached repentance and faith. He baptized. His message was urgent, for God was on his way, so he didn't sugarcoat it. He called a spade a spade. He preached against sin wherever he found that sin, even if it be in the ruling authorities. He knew the law hurt, and yet he also knew the gospel was salvation. He was a man of God, a great man of God, who turned the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And Herod arrested him. For John had the audacity to tell King Herod that he could not take his brother's wife as his own. But Herod thought himself a great man. He saw his splendid robes, his military might, his important friends. How dare a little hermit chide him? Herod wields power while John simply pours water. And yet Herod's heart is filled with decay. Enamored with the young girl's dancing, he promised her anything. And she asked for the head of John without trial, without accusation, simply because her mother hated him for preaching the truth. And mighty Herod was struck. His splendor and his honor and his glory seen as a sham, for he knew John was a man of God, and to kill him would bring God's wrath. But he feared man more than God. He loved his clothes and fineries and powers and assumed this is what makes men great. And so, pretending to be a man of his word, the coward gave the order. Illegally, unjustly, he killed John in order to please a licentious daughter and her harlot mother. The world is not worthy of great men. Barely 31 years old, the greatest man to have ever lived, save our Lord, is removed from this life. Which means that John preached for and baptized for just about a year and a half. That's how long we've been dealing with COVID. And yet we see God's mercy. God removed John from the shallow world of lies and vanity, where the superficial are stars and the arrogant often reign. He entered the eternal bliss won for him by the one he preached. As he leaped for joy in his mother's womb, so now he leaps for joy in the courts of God as he beholds the Lamb of God face to face once more. Imitate this great man. Don't trade your wardrobe in for camel's hair or your food for locust. That's outward. John was the forerunner, you are not. But his whole life was one that preached repentance, from the way he lived to the way he spoke to the way he ate. It called sinners to repent of their sins. So heed his words. Turn away from your sinful flesh, your sinful pride that thinks you're somebody important. Or to be a bit more pointed, Stop thinking about what you can get out of your relationships and instead recognize what God wants you to put into those relationships. Why does there have to be a benefit to you? Love costs. It exhausts you and tires your feet and wearies your mind. If you expect something in return, then are you really loving? If you demand a reward, even if it's as simple as a thank you, then have you sacrificed for them? Maybe outwardly, yes, but not in your heart. You are still living for yourself. So enough with the superficial love. Enough with thinking family is a burden and work is a chore. Enough with striving for fine food and soft clothes. Enough with caring about our own reputation. Great men do not have such things. Great men live in repentance and faith. So do not imitate Herod's fragile pride and self-serving ways. Imitate John's staunch stance, his bold words, and his confident character. How? By looking away from yourself and toward that Lamb of God. And so great men are the dedicated and hardworking, the honest and sincere, the pious and devout, for they recognize they serve God and not man. They speak the truth, though it hurts. They call sin, sin, regardless of where they find that sin, whether it's in friends, family, or governing authorities. Yet they are quick to forgive and very slow to anger, for anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. They do not hobnob with the popular stars, but with the poor in spirit. They do not care what others did or ate, but they care about what their children did and ate, their parents or their grandparents. Even if they have wealth and beauty, their minds are still set on things above and not on earthly things. For swords, military might, and titles do not make men great. Wealth, popularity, and unique abilities do not make men great. These things are not sinful, but neither are they the substance of greatness. Repentance and faith makes men great. Repentance causes the angels of heaven to echo your names in the bliss of heaven. Heaven knows you by name and eagerly awaits your arrival. For the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world has set you free, even as he set free John. He exalted you to be a royal priesthood. And so you rule over all things, not physically, of course, but spiritually. No one can pull you down. No one can overcome you, destroy you, or harm you. For you are kings and rulers of all things with Christ. And so let the world mock and belittle. Let them scoff in disapproval and roll their eyes at our seemingly backward, out-of-date values, morality, and lifestyle. Let them take our life, our goods, our fame, our children, even our wife. It harms us none. John remains free even as he sat in prison because his heart was tied to Christ, for no one can enslave the soul that trusts in him. Nothing can afflict us, for we rest in him. His blood drenches our thoughts. His words fill our ears. Like John, we can do without the comforts of life because our help is found in him. In Christ, we lack nothing, for he bestows life, truth, light, glory, righteousness, peace, salvation, joy, liberty, wisdom, power, and grace, and every other incalculable blessing. Who can imprison the one Christ has set free? Who can kill the one Christ has raised to a new life? Faith clings to the Maker of heaven and earth, the Lamb of God, our Savior. This gospel allowed John to boldly preach and to boldly die. This gospel set him free. This gospel made him great. Like an iron pillar, he would not move. Like a mighty fortress, he would not cave to Herod or turn a blind eye to sin or pursue earthly treasures. He saw the Lamb. And he saw sinners in need of that Lamb. So he preached him. He believed in him. and through faith in him, he entered heaven. A great man indeed. May God give us strength to imitate him, to stand unmoved like an iron pillar on the gospel of Christ, to be unafraid of any authority, popular opinion, and even to be unafraid of death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.